helping me. I hear the Spirit of God saying this morning that I'm not just bringing forth a healing, I'm bringing forth a revealing for the glory of my name.
Yes. Yes.
I'm bringing forth a revealing of a path that's set for you. I'm bringing forth a revealing of Christ in you.
Yes.
And this is going to be a season where you're going to know that the winds have changed. There's been a shift. And there's a direction. But it's not without my affection. It's not a direction that merely presses forward for purpose. It's a direction that motivates you to go. For there's the goodness of my name that you're going to see in this season. And this is for you corporately, and it's for you as individuals. Our lovely lady here who's on the worship team. What's your name again?
Melissa.
Melissa. This is a year where you're going to find your voice.
Yeah.
Your voice is a wonderful voice. And your voice is not just the voice that sings. Your voice is the voice that brings the goodness of His glory. And there are peoples who are dependent upon you. There is family that's dependent upon you. There are people that are dependent upon you to break shackles and to break chains. And some come as a mighty wind, but others come as an anointed wind that simply breaks away the shackles of pain. And there is a grace in you. God says He really believes in you. He really believes in your voice. You're His choice. He picked you. And He said, this is going to be a year where you're going to find your voice. And confidence is going to rise up in you. And you're going to shine. You're going to shine. You're going to shine. You're going to know, girl, you're mine. I chose you. I chose you. And sometimes you've been content to take second place, but there isn't any second place in my kingdom.
Amen.
Everyone is a one and only. Everyone is a first choice. And that's why I say you're my voice. And this is going to be a time where you're not just going to be musical. You are the music. And even in the marketplace, in the everyday reality, you're bringing forth a grace of my testimony. And you're going to see many people healed, many people healed. But even better, this is not just a season of healing. It's a season of revealing the glory of my name. And people are going to find their pathway because of you. And so you go ahead and be the voice. Yeah? You be the voice. Okay, that's just our sponsor. We'll see what he says today. I'm going to talk today about seven reasons for hearing God. Seven reasons for hearing God. When we know the reason for hearing, it can change what we hear.
That's true.
Sometimes we don't know the reason for hearing, so we look to hear for all the wrong reasons. And I'm going to look at today, we're going to be looking at talking about what's in Revelation. Obviously, we don't have time to read all of Revelation. It's a big revelation. But we're going to be talking about seven letters to seven churches. And Revelation is a revelation of a person. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ.
Right.
It can only be understood in the place that is, that was, and will be, which is a new covenant truth. If we lived in an old covenant time, a time of information, then we would always have to remember what we've been told. I love Pastor Bryce today mentioned that there's an island of obedience. I believe that island of obedience is an island where we're obedient to the faith. We're obedient to the voice. We're obedient to intimacy. It's not obedience to something that God said long ago. It's a connection. It's a place of intimacy with the one who speaks right now. And so revelation of Jesus is like that. It's not like the old covenant where you had to read it. God did something and you would say, remember when? Remember when? Do you remember when God? Do you remember when God? Do you remember when God parted the Red Sea? Or we can say in this church, do you remember when God did this? Do you remember when God did that? We've got lots of memories, and in our memories there are good things. Do you remember when God? Do you remember when God? And then there arises a time and a moment when someone stands up and says, I don't remember. I remember you said, but I've never seen it.
Right.
And that's the problem with a covenant that you have to remember. Because at some point, we don't remember. We only remember we're supposed to remember. And so when we live in a covenant of information, we try to remember, but we don't remember. I've been writing in my blogs lately. You may have seen a phrase if you follow my blogs. One of the things that I've been stating is poetic truth versus theological truth. I think I said a little about that last time I was here. And I'm really appreciating poetic truth. I love theological truth. I love the fact that He's always there. He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. That's good theology. But you know what? Sometimes I just need Him to show up. That's good poetry.
Yeah.
Today, the earth turned in the direction of the sun, and the light came on. But no one really says, wow, the earth turned in the direction of the sun today. No, we don't remember the theological truth, the scientific truth. We only know the poetic reality. Wow, did you see that sunrise this morning? That's a poetic experience. And I think God wants a few poetic experiences. And so in the place where we hear is the place that He is, He was, and He will be. So a new covenant reality is, blessed are those who hear, blessed are those who read, and blessed are those who keep all that is in this revelation. So it's not about end times. It's not about something that's coming next. It's about your life. It's about the life of people 2,000 years ago. It's about the life of people 500 years ago. When you encounter Jesus Christ, when He walks into your room, when He walks into your life, everything changes. All of a sudden you can hear Him, but you can also now remember better than ever before, because you didn't just remember something that was written. You remember something that was written in you. And now you can actually walk in relationship, and you can be empowered to do what you could not do before, because the best the Bible can be without Him is information. But when you discover His voice in your heart, you receive transformation and you become a Bible too. Now, you know it's the right Bible when it agrees with the Bible that you have. But the Bible that you have should be something like a shadow of your life. Now, if your life is casting a shadow that looks different than the character, the nature, the way, the power and the authority of the good God that's revealed, then you need to get a little closer to Him so you cast a different shadow. But in Revelation, in chapter 2 and 3, it addresses seven letters to seven churches. And those churches were churches that existed at the time of the Revelation. They were also the language of everything that existed from the Garden of Eden to the day of Jesus. But they also had a secret to everything that would follow in the future. And I want to present to you today that you, everyone's church, are part of all of the church. And so all seven realities of these letters are seven realities for you and for me, for us up in A Life, and for you at everyone's or His place or wherever we come from. And in this reality, God is speaking, and there are seven reasons to hear. So the very first letter, if you read it, it's found in Revelation 2. It's to a church called Ephesus. I like to translate words because Ephesus doesn't mean much unless we translate it. It means desirable place. How many of you have been looking for the desirable place? I've been looking for that place all my life. Every human being is looking for the desirable place. If we were to write that in the Old Testament, we would use the word Eden, same as Ephesus. It means desirable. Everybody's looking for the desirable place. And in this letter, they're commended. They know how to do all kinds of things like work in a garden. They know how to labor and how to toil. They know how to pull weeds. They know how to dig. And they've prided themselves in knowing who's set, who isn't. They know what's right and what's wrong, who's true versus who's false. But there's a problem. They left their first love. And in this letter, Jesus is revealed as the one who walks in your midst. Yeah. The overcoming promise is this: he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Here's the first reason to hear. It doesn't say he who has an ear to hear, strive, struggle, wrestle, fight to hear.
Come on, that's good.
It says he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. This is the first reason to hear God. He who overcomes, I'll give him access to the tree of life. Amen. I'll give him paradise, the desirable place. I describe paradise as this. It's a place where nothing works without God. I used to think it's a place where everything works. That's the last thing I want, is a place where everything works and God's not there.
Yeah.
That would be called deception. So the first reason to hear God is to know He loves you.
That's right.
It's the reason. Here's a reason to hear. to know how much He loves you. He walks in your midst with you. The desirable place is where no weapon formed against you can prosper, because the lover of your soul never leaves your life. We have a course in our school we teach on hearing the voice, and we say if hearing God is knowing what to do, then knowing what to do is your God. And most of the time, human beings approach hearing God as, I need to know what to do. I need to know what to do. I need to know what to do. I'm 45 years old in Christ, 62 years old on the planet, and I've discovered something. I don't need to know what to do. Most of the time, I don't know. But one thing I do know, I need Him.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
That's
right.
And there's one thing I need to know. He loves me.
Yes.
Come on.
Changes everything.
Amen.
That's what empowers me to return to my first love.
Yes.
In this first letter, the revelation to John was, this church is good in that they hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. They hate those who indulge in the flesh. They hate evil. They hate carnality. They hate the things that are flesh. And then in the letter he says, but you forget this.
Yeah.
I hate it too. So here's the deal. Desire for God to love you more than you desire to hate evil.
Mm-hmm.
Desire God's love more than you desire to overcome the flesh. Because here's the deal. The one who loves you hates the flesh too. So wouldn't it be better if you put that in His hands?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be better if you quit trying to hear God so that you can fix your life?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you just simply let your heart be open to hear the one who loves you. I promise He'll fix whatever needs to be fixed.
Yeah,
that's
so good.
Right.
That's right.
So good. So this is a good reason to hear God. I want to hear God because He's the one who loves me. He's the one who loves me. He walks in the midst of my life. He loves me. I happen to believe that the seven letters are seven aspects of my life.
That's right.
Seven aspects of your life. Mm-hmm. I happen to believe that the one who's sent in Jesus' name is Holy Spirit.
That's right. Yep.
Jesus said, I don't testify of myself. There's one who comes after me. He testifies of me. I will pray and Father will send Him in my name.
Amen.
So He's the sent one to the church. And He's a perfecter. He has seven aspects to His identity. He is the Holy Spirit, but He's the Spirit of the Lord. That's the first aspect. So you know what? I think the angel to the church of the desirable place is Holy Spirit as the Lord. Now what's a Lord? A Lord is not a what to. A Lord's a want to.
That's good.
You know how you know you have a Lord in your life? It makes it so you can't do anything else.
That's good.
Okay, if you can't break a habit, that habit's a Lord in your life.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. But I got good news for you. I know the Lord of Lords.
Yeah.
Don't worry about your little Lords. Just hear the big Lord. He'll take care of the little Lords in your life. Your problem is not what to. Your problem is want to. So let the lover of your soul love you. Let God love you. It's a good reason to hear God.
Yeah.
Ah, He loves me. Paradise has been restored. There's a place of connection with God. He's got the first thing He says to you is shame off of you. You were born to be loved by me. More than born to be right. You were born to be loved by me. You see, you've been so busy digging in the garden, you forgot the purpose of the garden.
Yeah.
I made the garden.
Enjoy.
I made you. I planted the garden. I put you in the garden so that you can get to know me. And this garden looks a little bit like me. I was in my garden. I like my garden. Getting close to springtime. Questions today. We don't know whether it's winter or spring, but I was in my garden last year, and you got, you know those little swamp grass weeds that you don't want to tell the county about that you get in your yard? Declare it a wetland. We got grasses and weeds around here that the whole Washington State would be declared a wetland if they found every one of them. But you know that little horsetail thing that comes up, And it's got a root like this long on it. You know the one I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And I was in my garden last year, and I get tired of those weeds. And so I had this little hand tool. I like little hand tools. And I was down on my knees next to my strawberry, and I was digging down under my strawberries, and I got a hold of a root, and oh man, this big old root came out. And I just felt really good about this. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me instantly. He said, you know, the good news of your garden is not the fact that you just pulled that weed. He said, the good news for your garden is you're in it. And if the weed comes again, you'll pull it again. Don't be so concerned with the weeds in your life that you miss the one who's in your garden. If he pulled it once, he'll pull it twice, as long as you make room for him. The purpose of the garden is for him to walk. So the first reason to hear God is to know how much he loves you. Okay, the second reason for hearing God. The second letter of Revelation is to a church called Smyrna, which means myrrh, M-Y-R-R-H, myrrh, which is burial oil. Mm-hmm. Now, in this particular letter, Jesus is seen as the one who was dead but now lives, which is not bad news. And the overcoming promise is the second death has no power over you.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Okay, in other words, there's no reason to ever be afraid.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Right on.
Because the anointing of wisdom in your life, Holy Spirit is the Spirit of wisdom.
Right.
The anointing of wisdom is a faith not based on things that have happened before in your life. It's a faith based on things you've never seen, heard, or thought before, and I've got really good news for you. No thing can kill you.
That's right. That's right.
Not even the second death has power over you. So what's a first or a few little ones in life?
Yeah. Still alive.
So it empowers us when we hear God. It empowers us not only to know that he loves us, but to know how much we can love him. So a second reason to hear God is to overcome the fear of death in all things.
Yes, that's right.
I want to hear God so that I can know that I know that I know. Fear not. Uh-huh. Don't be afraid.
Right.
And then, you know what? You know what the opposite of fear is? What's the opposite of fear? Well, we often say the most common, if I say the opposite of faith, the most common answer is fear. The second most common answer to the opposite of faith is doubt. Okay. But neither of those are the opposite of faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 teaches us that the opposite of faith is natural sight. And now natural sight is based on things you've seen, heard, and thought before. Experiences that you've had, things you've seen before, or maybe hopes that you had that didn't happen. You had hoped something would happen, and it didn't happen. And so now you have a wound in your expectation. That's natural sight. So the opposite of faith is natural sight. But the opposite of fear is love. Perfect love casts out all fear. But faith only works through love. So where love does not live, faith cannot work. But where love lives, faith will work every time.
Amen.
When you love somebody, you are willing to do anything.
Yeah.
Death has no power over you when love lives there.
Amen.
You're not afraid of death when it's someone you love. Hey, like I'm a grandpa, right? You always hear the stories about me being a grandpa. I love being a grandpa. I love being a dad. I love being a husband. I love being family. Okay? Now, in my family, you know, I found out that for me, it's real easy to change the diapers of my grandchildren. No, they don't have them now, which is quite nice and perfect season. But they had them. It's easy to clean up vomit in the middle of the night for my grandchildren. It's not easy to do that for people I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, why is it easy for me and my grandkids, but not for me and others? Because I love my grandkids, and I have to wrestle to love others. So the real issue is a revelation of love then empowers me to not be afraid of death anymore. I'm not afraid of poop in a diaper anymore. I'm not afraid of vomit anymore. I'm not afraid of a sacrifice anymore. I'm not afraid to be tested in my faith. Because I have a revelation of love. So a second reason for hearing God is not only to know that God loves me, but to know I love Him. Empowers me to do things that speak of my faith toward Him. Empowers me to not be afraid of death anymore. God, I want to hear You. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. So this second letter says, he who overcomes the second death will have no power over him. Let him who has an ear to hear, what the Spirit says in the churches, he who overcomes will not be hurt by second death. So it doesn't matter what the tribulation is, doesn't matter what the testing is. And it says, in this letter, it talks about being tested 10 days. I know of some guys that were tested 10 days. Whenever I read the Bible, I always like to read the Bible. Meaning when I find something in the Bible, I like to find it somewhere else in the Bible. And I promise you, when you find something in the Bible, you can find it somewhere else in the Bible. If you find something and you can't find it somewhere else in the Bible, you're reading the wrong Bible. So tested 10 days. I know some guys that were tested 10 days. They were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, that we often call Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Daniel, we never called Daniel Belshazzar because it didn't make a good Sunday school song. We would have to say, excuse me, Belshazzar. But their Hebrew names were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, right? And they were tested 10 days. Now, what did that test look like? Well, they were probably 18-year-old young men that were really smart. They looked sharp. They could think sharp. So therefore, they were selected by the king of Babylon for a particular task. They had to learn Babylonian culture, Babylonian language, and Babylonian science, and Babylonian wisdom for 3 years of intense schooling. But at the beginning of the schooling, to make sure there was no distraction from the task, they went through a surgical operation that made it so that they would never be able to have children. It's called being made a eunuch. So I wonder what happened to their dreams and their hopes as Hebrew men. Well, you know, when I grow up, I think I'm going to get married and have children. Well, that one's out the window. Well, when I grow up, I think I'm going to have a farm, and I'm going to have my little piece of ground. Well, that went out the window when they were forced to serve the king of Babylon, knowing by their own prophet's words that this was going to last 70 years. So let's see, 18 years old. Okay, Babylon doesn't know this, but our prophet told us that we'll be 88 when we get out of this situation. Wow, you need to hear God to be able to have some faith toward God. So it says they were tested 10 days. 10 is a number. It means completeness. Okay, if you look at Old Covenant theologians, they'll tell you it means judgment. But you need to look a little bit clearer. And you need to think a little better, because in the New Covenant, we understand that the real issue of 10 commandments was not judgment. It was a judgment of love.
That's good.
So 10 is always a judgment of love. Why do you tithe? Because you are responding to the bread and wine that He gives you, so you're making a judgment of love in His direction.
Yeah.
And responding.
That's right.
Okay. So test us 10 days. They said test us 10 days and give us the vegetables and the water. You don't have to go to Judah to get us vegetables and water. We'll take the Babylonian vegetables. We're all right with that.
Come on.
Babylonian water. We've got faith for that.
Yes. That's right.
But we don't have faith for the Babylonian wine, the Babylonian meat. Just give us vegetables and water. Test us and see if we are not wiser than anyone else. At the end of the 10 days, they proved to be wiser and they got promoted. See, they weren't afraid of death. They just knew that God loved them so much, they found themselves in a situation that could be questionable. Does God really care? Does God really love me? Oh my goodness, I can't have a family. I can't have my dream. Oh, does God really love me? They didn't ask that illegitimate question. They said, we know God loves us. So we've looked around here to see what we could have faith for and not question our hearts and our relationship with God. And it looks like the zucchini and the water is good enough. So give us that. And so they had faith toward God. So a second reason for hearing God is so that I can have the power over the fear of death. I can love God with action. I know he loves me, but now I'm also inspired to not be afraid of death anymore. I can do anything. I can do works that speak of my faith toward God. A third reason is found in the third letter. And the third letter is to the church of Pergamos. And it's found in verse 10 of chapter 2. Pergamos means height or elevation. And in this letter, it's the language of the one with the two-edged sword. It's the language of a double witness. Like the children of Israel when they went out of Egypt and they ended up in the wilderness and God gave them a law and he gave them a tabernacle. He gave them a Torah tabernacle system. He gave them an ability to not be slaves freed from Egypt. He gave them the ability to get a testimony to be the people of God. To be the inheritors of God. You can't just be free from sin. You got to be sons and daughters of God on a journey to the inheritance of God. So you're going to need the witness of heaven in your life. You're going to need the presence of his spirit and the power of his word in your life.
That's
right. So Pergamos, height or elevation, you're going to need something higher than your earthly reality. You're going to need something that comes from the mountain. You're going to need the presence of the spirit. You're going to need the presence of the word in your life. And the overcoming promise of this letter is that you're given hidden manna. Hidden, what is it? There we are. They call themselves apostles. No, that's a different one. This is a different one. We got two messages going on here, but it's okay.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. Okay. So, something higher than us just broke into the room. So. God gives grace to the humble. Now that you've been humiliated, you're ready for lots of grace there. So, you need something higher than you. You need something that is a witness of God's Spirit and God's Word in your life. The overcoming promise is you're given this hidden manna and a white stone with a name on it that only you know. I don't know that name. You know it. And what is it? It's the result of God's transforming power, his spirit of understanding working in your life. You're different than you used to be. Why? Because there's something higher than you in your life. Pergamos, height or elevation. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God, hidden manna, internal word, and outward testimony is growing in your life.
Come on.
So I want to hear God because I want to hear how much you love me. I know you love me. I need to hear how much you love me. I need to hear how much I love you. I need to hear I'm not afraid of death. But the third reason for hearing God is to hear so that you have an inward transformation of God's word in your heart.
That's right.
And an outward testimony in your life. I want to hear you so I have this inward transformation. What is it? I don't know. What is it? I don't know. That's called manna. That's what it means. What is it? Well, what happened? I don't know. It was a what is it? Well, what is it? I don't know. What is it? Well, look at me. I've been changed by his word. I found out that when I hear him in my heart, my head doesn't know what I heard, but my heart does. And after a while, my head begins to figure it out. But I get an inward testimony before my head knows what happened. I get understanding that surpasses my understanding. Because Holy Spirit comes as a spirit of understanding. So there are the result of this hearing God is there's the fruit of responding to God's gifts of his word and spirit in and through our lives. the fruit of responding to His Word and His Spirit. And we're responding to Him. You see, I'm hearing Him. He's giving me gifts. He's giving me Word and Spirit. What is it? And outward testimony. And I'm responding to Him. I'm dancing with Him. I'm becoming a testimony of His judgment of love.
Yes.
I'm being changed. Wow, these are good reasons to hear. I haven't heard a good reason to hear so that you'll know what you're doing. I haven't heard that yet. I haven't heard a good reason to hear God is so that you'll... You see, when I say that you'll know that He loves you, it isn't a question of so that you'll know whether He loves you or not. That's not what it is. It's so that you'll know His love. You see, in the new covenant, the flowers have changed. The old covenant flowers were a knowledge of good and a knowledge of evil. So you would pick one and you would go, He loves me, He loves me not. He loves me, He loves me not. He loves me, He loves me not. He loves me, pretty good day. Oh, He loves me not, bad day. But the flowers in the kingdom are different. You pick them, He goes, He loves me, He loves me, He really loves me. Woo-hoo, you love me, you love me. He loves me, He loves me. He really loves me, bad day. He loves me, good day. He loves me. Really, really bad day. Woo! You really love me. He loves me. So it isn't a question of, I got to hear whether you love me or not. That's not He who has an ear to hear. It's to know He loves you, to not be afraid of death because you know His love. So now you love Him. You love Him. You do works that speak of your faith. And to receive His gifts of His Word and His Spirit. He's changing you. Hidden manna is coming inside of you. What is it? I don't know, but look, I'm changing my character. The fruit of my life is changing. Look at the power of my life is changing. I've got inward and outward evidence. I've got a white stone. Only I know it. But my goodness, look. It's a testimony. Okay? Then the next church in here is a church called Thyatira. And Thyatira means sacrifice or labor of love. It's found down in verse 18. It begins there. Sacrifice or labor of love. And the language of this letter is to Jesus is seen as the Son of God whose eyes are like fire and His feet are like fine brass. And it's like the kingdom, the king of the kingdom. Like King David was a testimony of the kingdom of God. Now, I really like the idea that he has eyes of fire. You remember the song? He's got fire in his eyes. Y'all ever sing it? And a sword in his hand. And he's riding a white horse. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
Across this land. He's got fire in his eyes. Huh?
Bengal Coolie.
Yeah, okay. But you know what? Some people think that song goes like this. He's got flashlights in his eyes. And he's looking for you. He's going to find out if you stepped in doo-doo. He's got flashlights in his eyes. Look out for him. He's looking to find your sin. And we say, oh, 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 we will hide. No, if he's got fire in his eyes and there's something in your life that can burn, it's called the woof factor. He's got fire in his eyes. Woo! And he's clean in your heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
He's very close. And he won't depart.
Yeah.
He's got fire in his eyes.
Thank you, Lord.
Making you come alive.
Yes.
And there's no need to hide.
Yeah.
Just let him ride.
Yeah.
We say yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. Lord.
Yes.
Come and ride.
Yes.
A little different version of the song, but
yes.
So the overcoming promise of this particular letter to Thyatira is, you know, this is about authority, because in this letter it deals with Jezebel. Okay, now authority is a perverted word in English. And Portuguese and other places I go. Because when we hear authority, we hear control.
That's right.
But authority isn't that. Authority means you have too much of something and you have to give it away. So, example, I think I've said this before here, but this bottle, when it's empty, has the potential of having authority. It was created so that it could have authority. And now, If it's filled with water, it has the authority of water. That means I want to come under it, not because it's going to control me, because it's going to be in submission to me. It's going to submit by leaning in the direction of me. And the result of authority is life.
That's good.
Always life. Now, the overcoming promise, this one is about the one who has eyes of fire. He brings life. Fire brings life. His feet are already judged. He's not coming to judge you. He's already been judged on your behalf. He's the one who's the Son of God. He's come to reveal you as a son of God, a daughter of God. And he wants to reestablish that Father of lights, you delight in your children. Every good and perfect gift. You know what the good and perfect gift is that comes from him? You? Mm-hmm. Even my granddaughter knows this. When she was younger, one time when she was maybe about 5 years old, we were spending the night. She was over, and about 2 a.m, she wakes up and she says, "Gopa," that's what she calls me. She said, "Is that a star?" And I said, "No, I think that's the smoke detector." And she said, "Well, it looks like a star." I said, "Yeah, it does." She says, "Well, is it red and white?" I said, "No, I think it's white and silver, I think." "Well, are some of them red and white?" I said, "Yeah." She says, "Well, you know, you can find your way by the star." I said, "Yeah, you can." She said, "Yeah, they make animal shapes." I said, "Well, you know, you've seen that?" She said, "No, I saw it on a show." I said, "Well, what show?" "Curious George. He was lost, but he found his way by the stars because they make animal shapes." Did you know when you find your place in submission, you find your place over and under and in the place of life, people can find their way by you?
That's good.
That a ship lost at sea could set a sextant in your direction and know where to go? Because you see, a star is not a reflection of light. A star is a light. Father of lights.
Yes.
You delight in your children. So what would that make you? A light. Not a reflection of light. A light. And when we all find our place and our ability to give life, our witness of giving life, we make an animal shape, you know?
That's good.
Lost people can find their way by us. Because we have a ministry of giving life, laying on of hands, giving life to others. It's called counsel, not informational counsel. It's called light to darkness. And so this is a fifth reason for hearing God, or fourth reason for hearing God, is to give life to our world. We can bring light to any darkness and transform any day. The overcoming promise is he who overcomes, he says, I'll give the ability to bring light to darkness, because he says, he who overcomes, I'll give him the morning star. It actually says, he'll rule the nations. I'll give him power over the nations. He'll rule them with a rod of iron, and they shall be dashed to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, you have to read God's heart, not your understanding of Scripture, to understand that. Now, I'm 62, so some of you, I'm recognizing there are grayish hairs in the room. So some of you will remember when we used to have encyclopedias that were paper.
Yeah.
You remember those overlays? I like the World Book because it's got pictures.
Yeah.
You know? And the World Book Encyclopedia, do you remember the anatomy of the human body? Oh, man. Do you get those overlays? They lay over it. Oh, my goodness. And there were map ones that did that. And there were animal ones that did that. Those overlays. I like those overlays. That's these Greek words. He will rule the nations with a rod of iron. In other words, he will overlay death with life uncompromisingly. He's not coming to kill anybody. They're already dead. He's coming to overlay dead things with life. And he's got a rod of iron. It doesn't change. He's uncompromising in his ability to bring life. He will dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. What is a pot? Pot's a dead thing. He's breaking open. What's in the pot? We got Bible that says there's torches in the pot. There's treasure in the vessel. So he comes to break forth with life, to bring the treasure out, to bring the goodness out. Yeah. He doesn't come to destroy the nations. He comes to destroy the part of the nations that's destroying the people of the nation.
Right. Yes.
The testimony of each one being life. So a good reason to hear God is to know how much you love me. A good reason to hear God is to know that love empowers me to love you. I'm not afraid of any death. I can't be killed. A good reason to hear God is to know, whoa, he's changing me inside and out. Yes. He's giving me what is it inside and an outward testimony. I'm responding to his love. A good reason to hear God is to know how much life I can bring to my world.
Yes.
These are good reasons to hear God. Let him who has an ear to hear, hear. Okay? And that's better than that controlling spirit called Jezebel. That's a perversion of authority. She doesn't have authority. She controls. Authority doesn't control. Authority gives life. I got two of these now. I'm not really sure whose I'm drinking. But whoever it is that I'm drinking, thank you very much. Thought that was mine, but I got two. Maybe it's a miracle. I don't know. That one's cold. So the next letter in Revelation is now found in chapter 3, which is the church of Sardis at the beginning. Now, Sardis means Prince of Joy. In the presence of the Lord, there's the fullness of joy. Now, this particular church, their problem is they're not awake. They're slumbering. They're sleeping. They don't care. They're apathetic. They're like in history, after the kingdom became divided and it ended up in captivity and ended up in places of scattering and bondage because it wasn't awake to God. It didn't know God's presence. It didn't know God's manifested power. It didn't know God's life, like the spirit of might. Okay, this is not, we've had the spirit of the Lord, wisdom, understanding, counsel. This is might. It's called resurrection from the dead. It's not an ability to not be afraid of death. It's the ability to be clothed in resurrection life.
Come on. Yeah. Yes. Good.
Okay, now you have a potluck today.
Yeah. Yes.
You know. How many brought you your special dish? Anybody bring a special dish they make? What's your special dish? What'd you bring?
Well, I made almond flour pancakes.
Almond flour pancakes. What'd you bring?
Hash brown casserole.
Back here, I saw a hand. What'd you bring?
Spinach casserole.
So these are specialties. These are unique. These are special items. Okay, in Asian cultures and Hebrew culture, Eastern cultures, they have a saying, and they say this: when you bring all the food to the table, the good news is there's one salt at this table. But even better news, everybody brought their specialty. But what makes it so special is it all has the same salt. It all has the same spirit. Did you know that you are somebody in Christ?
That's right.
Did you know that you are clothed in white? And that white is works that you were prepared for you in Christ. And this letter says that you are confessed before angels and confessed before the Father. I'll give you an example. Okay, I have three angels that work with me. They work with me all the time. You may not know your angels. You've got them too. Okay, now the angels, Hebrews said that angels are ministering spirits sent unto those who inherit salvation. They're not better than Jesus and they're not better than you. They're actually servants of you.
That's right.
They're less than you. I don't talk to mine, hardly ever, except for when I invite them to do something. Okay. Most of the time, I'm just aware there. Now, example, I have an angel that, for some reason, this angel is always on the right-hand side of me. And I'm confessed. I'm clothed in white. I have a particular thing that I bring to the table, my specialty, my special meal, my special food that I bring to the fellowship, that I bring to the table. That's according to what God says I am in Christ, according to the white robe I wear, according to how I'm clothed. And one of the things that I have is I have a gift of faith. Which means I can talk and you can grab faith easy. And I can even say some hard things and you can get faith for things that you wouldn't get faith for if anybody else said it.
Right. True.
No, it's true. And I got an angel called faith that works on the right hand side. Now, faith doesn't come because I like faith. Faith works with me to help faith happen because I'm clothed in the testimony. This is my special dish. You have one too. You bring it to the table. But it's the anointing of the Spirit of might. It's a good reason to hear God. To be clothed in you. To be you. Your special testimony of who Jesus is at the table. To bring life. I have another one on this side. It's called passion. It's not because I lack passion. You know, I have also a gift. I bring passion to the table. Yes. I can find sleepy people and wake them up. I can give them passion. Yes. Can I do that, Rachel? Yes. It's one of my specialties. I'm clothed in a white robe, and I'm confessed before my daddy because I'm a sent one. I'm a sent one to activate passion. And so there's another sent one, an angel, that serves me being sent. See, I'm confessed before the sent one passion because I have a sent gift of passion in Christ. You have this stuff too. It's the Spirit of might. It's a good reason to hear God. And in the presence of the Lord is a fullness of joy. It's nothing like being clothed in Christ. There's nothing like being clothed in the testimony of resurrection life.
Yeah.
You can't find joy apart from it. You find joy when you start walking in your clothes. You're finding your voice this year. You're going to walk in your clothes. You're already in it, but you're going to, my goodness, you're going to realize, whoa, wait a minute. You're confessed before your daddy and confessed before the sent ones who serve you being sent.
Yeah.
And you're a specialty. You're a special dish at the table. The good news is there's only one salt. It's still the Spirit of Christ. It's not you. It's the anointing of the Spirit of might, resurrection from the dead. You could go to the deadest of place and be you. You know, I can go to places that are dead in faith and faith happens. I could go to places that are dead in passion and passion happens.
Amen.
I got a third one, destiny. He's behind me. I can go to places that have been locked and hindered and I can unlock destiny.
Yeah,
I know you can do stuff too. I'm just giving you an example. I know who mine are. Okay, look at the next one. We're almost through this, but it's foundation for hearing God. And so that fifth reason for hearing God is to walk in the works prepared for us in Christ. We're sent ones. Thus, angels work with us to reveal the goodness of our Father through our lives as part of the testimony of His Son. The next letter is found in verse 7 of chapter 3, and it's to the church of Philadelphia. Brotherly love. Brotherly love. Okay, and this church is seen as the one who is holy and true, who has the key of David, who opens and no one shuts and shuts and no one opens. He's got the ability to bring the community of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit, the communion of the saints, the communion that releases the community. Brotherly love. Like the restoration of the temple under Ezra and Nehemiah in the city. Build a temple. You build a city. Build a city, you may never have a temple.
Yeah.
Build a temple, the automatic is a city.
Wow. Yeah.
You want to know why Skagit County looks the way it does? Because of Skagit County's temple. Mm. Whatever its temple is, it's what its community would look like.
Mm.
Okay, now, in the world, they have temples. Okay. Now, they don't necessarily know it's a temple, but it's whatever causes them, whatever they see as essential in their lives is going to produce a testimony of that which is essential in their lives. Okay? Same is true for us. Now, this has to do with the spirit of knowing, the spirit of intimacy, relationship, communion, community. And it's more like come to union, come to unity.
Mm-hmm.
Behold, how good. Psalms 133. Behold. I like the Hanson translation. Check it out. Look. Whoa. Do you see it? That's the word behold. How good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. And then he goes into a metaphor. Do you know what it's like? It's like the oil on the top of Aaron's head. Who's Aaron?
Moses.
The first high priest. Thank you, Robert. Robert is smart. He knows all the answers. He always gets the answers. He's awesome. Okay. He is the high priest. So on the top of his head, who's our high priest?
Jesus.
Down his beard runs an anointing. Down his garment to his feet. That's the first metaphor. Behold, check it out. Look, unity. You know what it's like? It's like the oil that runs on the top of Jesus' head, down his beard, down his garment to his feet. Do you know what? Here's the second metaphor. Do you know what it's like? It's like the dew of Hermon descending on Zion. Now, you'd have to go over to Israel to see that. But there's high snow-capped mountains, and Zion is a dead rock. And what brings dew to Zion is Hermon. Heaven touches earth on Zion. Heaven touches earth from the headship of Jesus.
That's right.
And then it says, and there the Lord has commanded the blessing. Where? Where the oil touches the dirt. Where the dew touches Zion. What is that? Where heaven touches earth. That's where the Lord's commanded the blessing. What's the blessing? Life forevermore.
Yeah.
What's the result? Unity.
Yes.
Excellent.
God does not bless unity. He blesses where heaven touches the earth, and the result is unity. Okay? Behold. So in other words, the psalm is not saying, if you do unity, this will happen. Because we can all get unity around. Let's all agree to hate God.
Yeah.
No, unity is actually diversity. Now, diversity doesn't create unity. Where heaven touches the earth allows diversity to be unity. Now, this is the spirit of knowing, okay? And, of course, in this one, the one who overcomes becomes a pillar, a place where heaven comes, a place where heaven touches the earth, a pillar, and then they're written on their foreheads, in their thinking, is the name of Jerusalem, the city, the community, the come to unity, the come to union, communion of God, and the name of God. In other words, they live for God, they live for one another. This is the breaking of bread, the drinking of wine. This is community, communion. It's brotherly love. So a sixth reason for hearing God is to be a pillar of God's presence, the place where heaven comes in the earth, that loves and lives for God and his family. It's a sixth reason for me to hear God is so that I become the place where heaven comes that loves and lives for God and his family. Now, the last one is the church of Laodicea. Now, Laodicea means just people. You can do kind of a play on words here in English because it relates to a time when Jesus showed up and there was Pharisees and Sadducees. Some of them were very Sadducee because they didn't believe in the resurrection.
Right.
Others were fair, but not fair enough. And in that time, they thought the answer was religious rules. They didn't understand that the answer is manifest presence of God in your life.
Right.
Yeah.
They thought that lukewarm was good enough. They didn't realize lukewarm might as well just be ice cold because you didn't hit the mark. And you need God more than anything in your life. You need God. You need to realize that God is knocking on your door. And all you got to do is open the door and he'll come in and he'll sup with you and dine with you and you with him. And you will reign in life. So there's a justice system. You could say the Pharisaic system is just people, as in they prided themselves in the justice system of what's right, what's wrong, what's fair, what's unfair.
Yeah.
Mm,
I didn't get that right.
But not to realize that when you do that, you end up being just people.
Mm-hmm.
I just played on words there, but that worked. But you see, the justice system of God is only one justice system that will make you red hot. It's a justice system of love that's not dependent upon what people do to you or don't do to you. It's unfair. It's a justice system where you can be hated and you love because you are love. It's a justice system where someone can choose to not forgive you, but unforgiveness cannot change who you are. You are still forgiveness.
Ooh, that's good.
It's a different justice system. Yeah. It's a justice system that is consumed with the zeal of the Lord. It's the fear of the Lord, the awe of God. This is a good reason to hear God. The seventh reason to hear God is so that you'll be consumed with His zeal for His glory. And this only comes by knowing Him in us and us in Him in all things. We can partner with Him in all things and reign in life because our justice system is we're here to bring the glory of God to the world.
Yeah.
We're not here to judge people who's right and who's wrong. We're here to judge them by love.
Yes.
To give them the testimony of God in me. So let me seal this by just giving the review. You can find these in these letters. I promise I'll blog on this tomorrow and the next day so you can read it. TED4YOU.com if you want to. And I'll also post this audio on my site so you can re-listen to it because I've said way too much for you to remember, right? But let me give you the reasons. And then we're going to open it up here if you'd like any of us to minister to you. We've got some folks here who can prophesy, and we'll do that at the end. And I'll just let you know that if you want a copy of that, make sure you bring a phone or a friend with a phone, okay, at the end here. But why would we want to hear God? Why do I want to hear you, God? The first reason is I want to know how much you love me. That will give us the desirable place. Now, it's not, I want to know if you really love me. No. I want to know how much you love me. Mm-hmm. You see, in the old covenant, love was a command. It was a command. Love God. Love your neighbor. In the new covenant, it's a revelation.
Yeah.
Love your neighbor even as I have loved you. It's not based on a command. It's based on a revelation. Even as I have loved you. So God, I want to hear you so I know how much you love me. Second, I want to hear you so that I can overcome any fear of death, that I can know perfect love has cast out all fear, nothing can kill me,
yes.
And I can love you. I can make sacrifices that speak of my faith towards you. I want to hear you so that I can live a life. So I can live a life. So I can live a life with works that speak of my faith towards you. Third, I want to hear you so that I can be a responder to those gifts of word and spirit you're given to me so that I'm changed inside and out. I'm changed in my testimony, inside out and out, a testimony of your love.
Yes.
Fourth, I want to hear you so that I can know who I am and give life to my world.
Yes.
I want to hear you, God, number five, so that I can walk in the works that have been prepared for me, that I can be clothed in the specialty that I am in the great I am, that I can be know and be confessed before my Father as a sent one and sending ones, work with that which I'm sent to bring, that I bring resurrection life to a dead world. Sixth, I want to hear you so that I am a place where heaven touches the earth. I'm a pillar. And I'm empowered from inside to love you and to love your community, to love you, to love your family. Sixth or seventh, I want to hear you so that I'm consumed with the zeal of your house.
Yes.
Your justice system of love is a fiery brand in me. And I realize you're in me and I'm in you. And you partner with me in everything. And I can reign in life. Lord, would you do that? He didn't say strive, struggle, wrestle, fight. He said, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.